Happy Sabbath, everyone. Blessings to you and all your households and all your children on this day that we call delight. It's good to be here, especially at this time of year. Tomorrow night, we'll be getting together and remembering the great gift that God, our Father, has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We'll be remembering the redemption and justification and the reconciliation that He has extended us through His Son. We'll remember His commitment to us. And we'll remember ours to Him. And through the foot washing ceremony tomorrow, we'll remember our commitment to one another. However, tomorrow or today, I'm not going to be talking about anything in regards to the Passover. What I want to talk about today is something that all too often can get missed during this time of year. An event, one of the greatest miracles that God ever performed, one of the greatest events of all time, that all too often we have taken away from us at this time of year. It's one of the greatest displays of power that God could have ever demonstrated to all of mankind, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I will be talking to you about the power of the resurrection, the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about in Philippians 3. He was talking about, I count it all lost to gain Christ. And a little later on, he talks about to know the power of His resurrection. If He's able to talk about it, so should we. And I think it is appropriate this time of year to not miss that second step, all important in regards to our salvation. I thought it would be important to go over the timetable again, just briefly, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we know that year Christ was crucified on a Wednesday morning about 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was crucified and died on the cross. At the time He died, the veil of the temple was rent. There were earthquakes, and people actually came back to life. Joseph of Arimathea bought some linen, took Jesus Christ, and put Him in his own grave that he had saved for himself. And I thought, you know, as I'm doing this and going through this, I thought, what an experience. I've never really thought about what He went through in regards to actually taking the body that we know was horribly abused, and actually placing it in the tomb. And what a humbling service that was to be done. We know that Christ died right at 3 o'clock and was put in the tomb right about sunset on Wednesday evening of that year. That was the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread. So there's the holy day, the first holy day. So Wednesday to Thursday night, Thursday to Friday night, Friday night to Saturday night, and then Christ was resurrected. He was resurrected just around the end of the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath of that year. And He was resurrected just about the time the wave sheaf was being cut for the wave sheaf offering. If you'll remember in Matthew 12, verse 33, the Pharisees accosted Christ. He just cast out demons. He'd just done some healing, albeit on the Sabbath. And they said, well, that's not enough. It's not enough. Show us a sign. And He said what He said, an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. But He did give that sign. 3 days and three nights, He was in the grave. I wonder what this event must have been like for the individuals involved. What that really must have been like. I think about the apostles and what it was like for them. You know, they were told by the women and they ran to the grave. It, complete defeat. Abject loss. In Christ dying. Remember that they thought that it was a possibility that Jesus Christ would return Israel to its glory. And here their Savior, in a hideous way, was crucified, was put on a cross, and He died. Not really the way that they thought the events would go. And you can imagine what it was like to know that Jesus Christ had, in fact, been resurrected for them. To go from complete defeat to resurrection. He was not in the tomb. I think about it, what it must have been like in heaven. You know, the angels and the hosts of God watching the actual event. And you know, maybe you can kind of picture this on the edge of their seats, knowing that it was going to come about. And to me, I would have think that there was probably a huge roar in heaven when Christ was resurrected. You know, yes. Probably greater than any roar you would hear at a baseball stadium, for sure. Can you imagine how exalted that must have been in the throne of God to actually witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I wonder what it was like for Jesus Christ Himself. What was that like? You know, He knew, he said that was going to happen, but what was it really like to be resurrected, to have His body, in a sense, become whole, and realize the Scriptures had been fulfilled and His promise had been fulfilled? What was that like? Satan the devil, what was it like for him? Utter and complete defeat. He did not and he could not defeat God, and he lost. Jesus Christ, in fact, was resurrected, and Satan had lost. Well, the important thing is, what does the resurrection mean to us? There are so many things that it means to us. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, which is the resurrection chapter, and verses 17 through 20, I thought it would be important to go back through this again and read these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, and it is Christ. Well, I knew there was something that wasn't working here. I apologize. I need my glasses. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Now, we're judged by our faith. It is by faith that we're supposed to do all things. And if Christ has not risen, our faith is in vain. And we are still in our sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. And in this life, we have hope in Christ. If only in this life, we are of men most pitiable. But now, in fact, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. It's very important, obviously. Paul writes that you know, without the resurrection, we really don't have a lot of hope. What comes with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Something to think about deeply. One is comfort. I know that Christ said that I will send you a comforter. He also said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. I like to think in terms of comfort. Yes, we do receive the Holy Spirit, and we do understand the Scriptures on a level that we never would have had Christ not been resurrected to receive that Spirit. But all people need comfort, don't we? We need to be comforted every day. The world needs comfort, and without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't receive that. John 15, verse 26, if you want to write that down, we receive comfort. We also receive hope. If you would turn over to 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 through 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Hope is, you know, without the resurrection of Christ, it's hopeless. We don't have hope. We have all the hope in the world because Christ is at the right hand of God. He has been resurrected. I think all too often we can have these things stolen away from us. We can miss them during this time of year, and I think it's important we talk about these things. Victory is another thing. Oh, death, where is your sting? That's the thing that comes to my mind. Death has been put away through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's kind of funny. Today I had a bit of a scramble, and one of the scriptures that came to mind, and I know it's there, is I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Key scripture. I can't find it. It was one of my favorite scriptures, and somehow I can't find it. And thankfully, I had called Keith Olson, and Keith thankfully said, well, right off the top of his tongue, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Well, reverse that. If Jesus Christ had not been resurrected, if he wasn't the right hand of God, we could do nothing. We wouldn't be the people of God. We couldn't become kings and priests. We wouldn't be able to enjoy the kingdom of God. We have victory in the fact that Jesus Christ has been resurrected. You know, without all of these things, we would be most pitied people. There are numerous things that you can account for in benefiting from the resurrection. Why is this important? Because there would be no hope for the future, no comfort for today, and there would be no hope for mankind. You see, the death of Jesus Christ is so important, but it is only half the story. And if we're not careful, we can have it stolen away from us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ it's put out there in a different way. We know that. There's things added to it. There's things that are attached to it that aren't correct. But it is appropriate to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to each one of us. The power is at our hands. The source is there. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. I'm not going to leave you without any suggestion on how to maybe best review these things. It's been a tradition in my household that on the Sabbath that falls during the Days of Unleavened Bread, we get together and we talk about these things. I'm not advocating Easter. You don't have to have ham and the buns and all the other things. But I think it's appropriate, and we do that. We talk about how important it is that he was resurrected and what the events must have been like to get together with friends and do that. We do that about the time of the wave sheaf. You know, we know that the wave sheaf was cut and released from the bonds of this earth. At the same time, in a sense, Jesus Christ was released from the bonds of earth as well. We have to, it is impossible not to see God in a different light when you see the resurrection. God so loves us that he gave us only, his only begotten Son. He so loves us that he sacrificed him. And he so loves us because he had him resurrected for as a first fruit for you and I. We'll also take time on that Saturday night to count 50, to simply begin to prepare and plan the best way we know how to count 50 for the day of Pentecost. Brethren, let's not let the miracle and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ be stolen from us. Let's remember the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the victory and the power of his resurrection.